The walls, they're blue and wavy. It's supposed to be the sea. Because then there are these portholes, like we're on a ship. Rivets like we get on old models at the depot. And through the portholes, behind them, there's fish swimming, sort of inside. They're swimming backwards and forwards, and round and round. And that's what we're doing. All of us, ladies, we're swimming round, waiting to be swallowed by men. Stupid Russian fish waiting to be gulped up by fat Western whales. And I paid to be here. Un Vladimir, por favor. When my husband left me, when I finally got him out of my apartment, I promised myself, I'm never doing that again. I will never again let a man think he's in charge of me. I went and lit a candle. Not the sort of thing I've normally got time for. First church I come across, opposite the loading bay, other side of the lights, big round one on Большая Никитская. Sick of the lot of them, I told God. Sick of their drink and lying round the place while I go out to work and then I get home and he hasn't even cleared up. And he says that's your job. Promise God I was done with men. But I was thinking about Russian men. So it turns out I'm not exactly breaking my promise. I wake up, get dressed, get Alexei off to school, walk to the depot, and I think, what next? I think, why? I think, what is it for? Why do I never feel happy anywhere? And why can't I be loved? Like in the songs, like in the films. No, that's stupid. That's not going to happen. I just mean respect. Someone saying nice things to me, stroking my hair. They washed us all in here, gave us a bit of a talk before the men arrived. She stood up on a DJ podium, Sveta, the one who signed me up, took my photo, did my website thing. All smiles then. Now she's more like being back at school, all rules and don'ts and threats. You can't try too hard, she said, Sveta. The men are going to be much more nervous than you are. They've all just flown in from another country, they've got a week to find a wife, and they don't know how to do it either. And we sipped our free drink and waited for the coach to arrive. I talked to this girl, was her seventh time, she said. And the men don't come over at all nervous. That's the last problem you got to deal with. Eyes, hands, vodka. That's the real problem, she said. I told her I was new with the agency, and she did this sort of smile and moved away. Like I'm bad luck or something. All right, the jackets and ties are a bit of a disappointment. Didn't they tell them they're coming to a nightclub? It looks like they're on the way to a sales conference. And the ones who could lose some weight, those businessmen shirts do them no favors. I've never been out with a man in a tie. Even my ex borrowed one for the wedding. So I'm making an effort. What's the point if I don't? I'm sitting at this table, talking to Jack. Going to that table, talking to Roger. Moving to the next table, talking to Graham. Talking to Simon, talking to Kevin. That's right, my name's Galina. We swim and swim, and the men, they've all got their theories. Roger wants to rescue me from this terrible place. He's had a good look around the city, not his first romantic tour, and he reckons we all want to be saved. He's a Pepsi man. And he has to bring his own. Simon looks down at his shoes and admits that he gets kind of nowhere with ladies in Kentucky. Jack is 60 and wants a wife under 30. And Kevin is always disappointed. Sooner or later, by the woman he dates, they always turn into feminists. Well, Kevin, maybe all the women in your country are fighting for the right to be coal miners and train drivers. Over here, we got that chance years ago. Except we got to go on being housewives as well. I'm 29. I'm not going to start wearing cardigans and tying my hair up in a bun and looking like a... Talk to each of them. Get past their boasts, past their crazy dreams, the photos of their houses and ex-wives. Find one who can talk. Alexei's crying when I get home. Apparently his father was around. I told Tash not to let him in, but of course she does. Of course she does. I sometimes wonder if there was ever anything between those two. Anyway, apparently he wants to know where I am. Tash shoots her mouth off, and as soon as he sees Alexei, he always knew what to twist the knife. Of course, I should have told Alexei about this agency thing. He's 9. He should understand. Now it's too late to get him excited about living in Dallas or London or New York. He's too upset. I'm so stupid sometimes. Of course, I ring my ex, and it just makes it worse. And I remember the time he used the phone, this phone. I was lying on the floor, right here, on this rug, banging it down on me again and again. And then he stops. And you know what he did? Yeah, standing there, picks it up again, phones Yuri, and goes, "Let's meet up." Who'd have thought it would still be working after all that? So I promised Alexei, told him I'd stop with the agency. Didn't exactly mind. The fish in the portholes giving me the creeps, and the photos of houses with garages bigger than my whole flat, and Sveta telling us to behave like nice ladies, meaning no action in the toilets, and the men prowling round and their hands everywhere, even when their mouths have got nothing to say. And I'm back underwater, watching the fishes go round and round, watching us, ladies, go round and round. Sveta said I should give it one more try. Showed me a letter they just had in. A woman from Cheryomushki with her 2 kids, who'd moved to Seattle. Smiling photos. Bet she keeps that photo in her desk just for people like me. But what can I say? I want to be smiling in a photo somewhere. So, I'm talking to Giles. I'll square it with Alexei later. Sometimes, when it's going well, when I can actually get Giles to talk about something he cares about, we forget the interpreter's there. Other times, when things get sticky and neither of us knows what to say, I think this is crazy. This is impossible. I like Giles. He doesn't push himself at you in any way. They all tell you sex is a mistake. They warn you. They say, leave something to discover. Leave yourself some mystery. But he looked so lost when I stood up to go. He got us another drink. Then I looked at my watch. Tash promised till midnight. He said I should use his mobile to call her, see if she could stay longer. Tash said she'd sleep on the sofa. We'd had such a good day together. Showing him the sights, I couldn't not. The way the rest of the hotel is, his room seemed a bit basic. He pointed to the chair and went to the little fridge in the corner. I said I didn't want to drink anymore. He opened a tiny bottle of whiskey. His hands were shaking. So were mine. That's why I didn't want a drink. He tried to pour his into a glass and gave up. Drank it from the bottle. Laughed. Wiped his mouth with the back of his hand. Spotted a drop on his tie. Went into the bathroom. He came back and holding it. He looked different without a tie, without his jacket. He knew it too. Funny look on his face, half pleased, half confused. He sat on the bed, on the end. He looked down at his shoes and said something and started taking them off. The bed felt damp, like the sheets were grabbing at your skin. Then he kept asking me questions, leaning over me and asking me something. Nobody's ever asked me anything before, not during. It was nice. So I just smiled and nodded and breathed out a bit. I got dressed again in the bathroom. Except now I realized I wanted to stay. I wanted him to say, "Don't go." It was 3 when I got home. Tash was asleep on the sofa. Alexei was fast asleep, with his hands above his head, like someone was pointing a gun at him. I know how he feels. We don't talk about it. But it's almost made us better together, knowing it's out of the way. It's Giles' last day here, and he's got to meet Alexei. I'd run out of excuses. So Giles comes to the flat. I can see what he's thinking, but he doesn't say it. That counts for something. And then Alexei. He's great. Suddenly he's fine. Knows Giles is from England and everything. He talks and talks at Giles, and Giles pretends he understands. They both know the word football. Abramovich, Beckham. Giles says he doesn't know much about sport, but he's going to try. And Alexei's smiling. I could not believe it was happening. Giles is a very good man. He sends me emails and letters when he wants to include some photos. I like him very much. I look out at the snow and I think I will never again have to walk to work in leaky boots. Giles says it hardly ever snows in Basingstoke anyway. Giles says he's joined Southampton Football Club and there is a school near his house which will probably have a place for Alexei. Giles thinks of everything. For me, for Alexei. He asks so many questions. Do I like this? Shall I get that? Would I use this? It's crazy to get angry about it. It seems so unfair. I know he loves me. But it's not enough. How do you make yourself love someone? I was sitting with Alexei in the embassy place yesterday, doing his visa form, and he said it, like it was nothing. He was so happy. You and you, Daddy, will love each other forever. He was excited, that's all, but he'd said it. And how can I move him to England if that isn't true? I smile and stroke his cheek, tell him I've forgotten some important document. We go home. I'm not going to lie anymore. I went to the agency and gave my letter to Natalia this morning, and she'll translate it and send it off to Giles for me. I said take me off the website as well. I don't want to try again. It's not going to. Natalia asked me if I want her to translate Giles' reply, and I said it was best not to. She smiled nicely, like she understood. I walked home up from the Ivanovsky. Alexei was waiting for me.
In Mail Order, Galina was played by Ksenia Zaitseva. Galina was written and directed by Jonathan Myerson, produced by Nick Russell-Pavia, and is a Goldhawk Essential production for BBC Radio 4.